We will get started. There is a bulletin insert with my sermon notes on it, so if you don't understand what I'm saying, you can read it for yourself and you'll get it. Those earrings are really pretty. I don't know if you've seen them or not. They're really beautiful. Did a great job. And that table looks pretty impressive, Scott. So it's a great experience for our kids to go down to Mexico. There are a couple people in our audience today who went probably 25 years ago. And I still remember going with these guys. And one of them was David over here, David Hayes, and Alicia. Alicia went right over there, and they were part of my student ministry team, and that was a long time ago, but those were just awesome times. I still have great memories of you guys going, and those are pretty cool, and all the trips intervening. So I'm excited that our team of kids are going with our adults, and pray for Scott and for the quarters, as Carly will be like a mom to all these people. It's going to be great. That it's going to be a good week. Looking forward to that. In the bulletin, there's also an insert that is asking for cookies. We like cookies at this church, and Frontline loves them, and if you want to bring some for the trip, you may certainly do that. That would be wonderful. 10% needs to be left back here for the interim pastor to taste and enjoy. I'm just saying. But also, one of the neat things is that you can also sign up to be a prayer partner for student or staff that are going. So if you would like to do that, you can also put that down, and then we will assign you to a student or an adult to pray for during that week. Pretty awesome. I just heard news of news for Pam Gaddis. Many of you know Mark and Pam Gaddis are missionaries to Nigeria, as they work with Wycliffe Bible Translators. In fact, that's related to our chicken project, the Goma project, all the chickens. By the way, we have about 87 chickens in so far, and I know there's more coming. What a great way to bless a brother in the Lord all the way across the world who is a pastor who wants to start up a family business so he can support the ministry that he is in. And so as you want to give, you're more than welcome to give. It costs about $7 per chicken. And there's an insert in the bulletin that Lorraine put together, really well done, just explaining a little more information about that. But anyway, Mark and Pam Gaddis have been involved with Wycliffe Bible Translators for many, many years. Mark was a youth pastor here at the Christian Center a long time ago. I know him. We go way back. I just found out Mary just shared with me some information. Pam is doing a lot of work with the translators also, and she was due out on a flight to Ethiopia, wherever, Kenya, and she didn't take the flight, and she went a day early. Well, it ended up that flight crashed, and all the people in the plane perished. Pam was not on that plane. We grieve for the families that were on that plane that lost loved ones. Today we're talking about committing your way to the Lord and some different pathways that we encounter during our lives, and what are we going to do during those times? We're going to commit our ways to the Lord. And this is a tough one for these families. So I just want to take a moment to pray for the families that lost loved ones. In God's providence, in His perfect way, He spared Pam's life. And so He has more work for her to do on this earth. And an illustration of how God is really in control. And so let's go before the Lord, because we just feel for all those families on that flight. Father, we come to You today, and we've sung about that You're a good, good Father. And Lord, You didn't make this plane go down, and it's not Your fault. Lord, we live in a world where horrible things happen, because it's a really fallen world. And things don't work. Things happen, tragedies, we hear about them all the time. And Lord, we're very aware that in this earth, as we walk this path, Lord, it's going to be fraught with difficult things. And this is another difficult thing, Lord, to hear. And our hearts grieve for those that are left behind who now have lost loved ones unexpectedly, suddenly, in a horrible tragedy like this plane crash. Father, we ask that you would comfort the families of those involved. Lord, somehow would you turn this thing that is not good, would you turn it around for good? Would you draw people to yourself through this tragedy? Lord, would you use the body of Christ, believers, to come alongside who know these families and to love and to cherish and to care for these loved ones who are grieving? Lord, we commit this whole thing and all these families into your hands, Lord. We trust you to do your work. Lord, we are grateful that in your sovereignty, in your providence, you have spared Pam's life. And we are grateful for that. Lord, now as we come to your word, thank you for this opportunity to hear from you, to Shema, to listen with the intention to obey. Lord, make our hearts tender. Don't allow us to be distracted from the cares of the day. But Lord, right now to really focus in on and listen to what you have for us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we're continuing our What Now series, and you've probably heard me say this week after week and go, yep, I'm getting it. But I just think it's really healthy to go back over Psalm 37 and remember, as we've been studying, what do you do, in the words of the psalmist, when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes? What do you do when the wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them? What do you do when the wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright? What do you do when you're really tempted to give up, to become discouraged in your faith because of the chain of events that have taken place in your life, both personally or by the wicked that seem to be winning? What do you do? And Psalm 37:1 has been an answer for us. David has given us those answers. It's great counsel. I'd like you to turn again. We're going to read that section again in Psalm 37:1-7. Would you turn there in your Bible? Psalm 37:1. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. David has been giving us, and God has been giving us, a psalm, some wise counsel when things aren't going well, or when we're struggling with those around us who don't seem to be walking with the Lord, who don't walk with the Lord, and they seem to be succeeding. And in the meantime, in your life, in my life, it's like, what is going on? And so we're instructed not to fret, trust in the Lord, do good, and last week we were reminded to delight yourself in the Lord. Today we're going to get a fifth word of wisdom from the Lord from Psalm 37. And it's commit your way to the Lord. You may hear that and say, okay, yeah, commit your way to the Lord. Real simple, right? Hard to do. What do you do? What does it mean to commit your way to the Lord? Well, the word for commit is galal, and it means to roll, literally or figuratively, to roll something over, to roll it in a direction, okay? And your way is the word derek, and it means path or road or journey. Figuratively, it means your course of life, the situations that you are in, your unique path that God has you on. And in this context, the circumstances that you find yourself in when the wicked seem to be prospering, carrying out their wicked schemes against you. And then in our own application, it's in my situation when there are changes going on in my life, that's my way that I'm in right now. You are in a certain time of your life. Might be going well, might not be going well, but that is the way, your situation, the circumstance, the road, the journey that you find yourself on. And the last part of this was to the Lord. And again, the word is Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, the personal name for God, the one with whom we are in covenant relationship with. He is the object of our commitment. So to commit your way is to transfer what is rolled away from yourself to another. Okay? If I could picture this, can you imagine? I was going to bring one in. I said, nah, I don't think I'm going to do that. Can you picture right now an 80-pound bag of cement? Okay? Now, let's say I needed to do some work, construction work, and I needed to mix that cement, and I needed to carry it over, and I wanted to put it in the back and build and maybe a walkway over by the youth house. And I pick up that 80 pounds of cement, and I'm just struggling. I realize I'm 60 years old. 60-year-old guys should not be carrying 80 pounds of cement. And I take it over, and I see Scott Hollingsworth, who's quite younger than me. And I go over and I say, Scott, here, take this. And I roll it over to Scott, and he, being buff like he is, takes it, and he just walks on over. Okay? That is a beautiful picture of rolling over a burden that I have to someone else. And that's the picture that God has for us when we fulfill this commandment to commit your way to the Lord. It is saying that to commit your way to the Lord, we're being instructed to transfer our way, whatever pathway we're in, wherever we are right now, whatever you're going through, whether it's some personal things in your own life, in your family, whether it's loss, whether it's dealing with aging parents, where it's dealing with kids, and we're just struggling. What do I do if it's caring for one another in our older years, if it's dealing with some of the pains and the aches? Whatever your path of life, what God is saying, commit your way to the Lord, roll over that burden that you have, and give it over to Yahweh and let Him take it. And that's really what it means when we commit our way to the Lord. There are other scriptures that say very similar things. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do. Roll it over to the Lord in whatever you do, and He will give you success. 1 Peter says it a little bit different way. It says, cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. So in the context here of Psalm 37, it's really saying, in the face of evil, when evil appears to triumph, when the wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, when you and I are tempted to be discouraged, when things are in transition, we're to roll it over to God, your situation, we're to roll it over to God, give Him the burden, and let it go. When Sherry and I were newly engaged, 1982, we were going to get married, and God was calling me to the ministry, and we were going to go up to Portland to seminary. And we did not have a place to live, and we really needed a place to live. And when you're out of college, you don't come out of college well off, do you? And so we didn't have any money. We were just newly married, going to be getting married pretty soon. And we needed a place desperately, and Sherry needed a job. We knew God was calling us to go to Portland, to go to seminary. And so over the course of time, it was a time for us to commit to the Lord and say, God, this is beyond our means. We need You to move and to act. We're going to give this way of our life right now, the situation we're in, we're going to trust You. We're going to give this over to You. As we were talking with some of our good friends, Ken and Don Ann Sack, they also were getting married, and Ken was feeling the call of God to go to Multnomah School of the Bible. And so as they were talking, Don Ann talked with her dad, and she said, yeah, you guys can live up here. And they had a house up in the boring area, Damascus area. And they said, well, Dad, Don Ann told her dad, she says, you know, Dad, we have another couple that we know. They're coming to seminary. And Don Ann's father was not a believer at that time. And they said, there's another couple coming, and they need a place to live. He says, well, you know what I can do? He says, I will fix up this downstairs part of the house, and I will make it ready to go for them so they can live there. He put in carpet. He did the carpentry. He put in a kitchen. He put in the bathroom, the plumbing, all of that stuff, and made it all ready for us. And he charged us $175 a month. Now, I know that was a long time ago, but even then, $175 a month was way good. And he said, whatever you have to buy, if you need to fix something, just take it off the rent. He never changed our rent the whole 4 years, 5 years we were up there. Not once. In your way of life, as you're walking along and you're in these circumstances, and this is where God has you, and then you're going, whoa, what are we going to do, Lord? You commit your way to the Lord by giving it over to Him, calling on Him and saying, God, you know what I need. I'm going to trust you in this circumstance. It's beyond my power to fix. I can't solve this. God, I'm committing it. I'm rolling it over to you. And what does God do? He takes it, that burden that we have, and He runs with it. It's interesting, at the end of those 5 years, that Don Ann's father, still not a believer, I got a chance to share with him about the Lord, that God sold the house just like that and blessed him. Isn't that cool? So that is what it means to commit your way to the Lord. Whatever path you're on right now, whatever you are going through, and for us as a church, as we're in a transition period, as we're assessing and evaluating and say, God, who are we? Where do you want us to go? What do you want us to be? As we evaluate and as we go through that, as we have a search committee for our youth pastor, our youth worship pastor, as we're transitioning, it is a time in this path for us to say, God, we're going to roll all over this. We're going to roll all this over to you. We're going to commit our way at First Baptist Church to you. You have got this. And then it takes all the burden off of us. We don't have to fret. We don't have to worry. Because what does Psalm 37:1 say? Don't fret. We don't have to worry because God has it. But I want us to think about the various pathways in which we travel, the various circumstances and situations that we find ourselves in. David, as he wrote this psalm, he's older when he writes this psalm. And he has been through a myriad of experiences in life. And as he wrote this psalm, he could reflect back upon the various pathways and situations which he had encountered through the course of his life. And there were four kinds of pathways in which, in his life, that David had to commit to the Lord, roll over to the Lord. See if you can identify with David in these. Pathway number one, they're in your notes there. Pathway number one is when you're walking in your way with the Lord, the path is really clear. It's like you go out on a beautiful spring day. It's spring here, isn't it yet? You wouldn't know it. But let's say it's springtime and it's Sunday afternoon and you want to go out on a walk and you go up to some of the mountains on the pathways and it is sunny out and it's beautiful and the pathway is clear and you know exactly where you're going, right? Well, that's one pathway. And in our lives, we can be on a pathway where we know where we are and we know where we're going and we know exactly what we're supposed to do. You know what? David knew that. He was in the presence of King Saul. He had defeated Goliath. Things turned on him. And so so Saul is coming after him with his army. David is in En-Gedi, in the caves of En-Gedi. And he's there running and being pursued by Saul. And he's in the back of the cave. And you know the story. And Saul's army's coming, and Saul goes up to the cave to relieve himself. And it's so hot out there that I'm sure Nigh doesn't relieve himself, but he takes a time to maybe take a nap or something, because David's men and David are in the back of the cave. And here's the counsel they give David. They say, David, this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said, I will give your enemy into your hands. And so David kind of listens to her advice, and he sneaks forward, and he goes and he cuts off the edge of Saul, who is the anointed king, cuts off the edge of his cloak. And as he's doing that, God convicts him. And his conscience is stricken when he cuts off the corner of Saul's robe. And David goes on to say, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lift up my hand against him." And he rebukes his men for suggesting that. By the way, it was not godly counsel. That wasn't from Scripture that God was going to hand Saul over to David. And David felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and he said, "I am not to hurt the king." And so king goes out, and David eventually hollers out, "Hey, king, I could have killed you, but I didn't, because I know that's not what God wants me to do." The pathway for David at that moment was very clear. God was telling him what to do, and he knew it, and he did it. He didn't listen to the people around him, which was not good advice, but he listened to the Spirit of God. He listened to his conscience that God had given him. And so there's times when we're walking on first pathway when it's very clear we know what we're supposed to do. You know what the challenge is? Will we do it? There are times when you're walking on the pathway and you know exactly what God calls you to do. And the challenge for us is, will you do it? There's a second pathway, and that pathway is you're on the path and you're going along, and all of a sudden you have no idea how you got on that path. In your wildest dreams, in your wildest imaginations, you would never have placed yourself on this path, in this circumstance in your life. Have you been there? Are you there right now? Some of us are. And you're going, "How did I get here? What is going on?" In David, in his situation, after he killed Goliath, everything was going pretty well for him. I mean, he killed Goliath, and the people are going, "Look at David, that guy's off," and he's a late teenager. He's awesome, man. And then Saul gave him a charge over some of his men, and the scriptures say in Samuel, it says, and everything David did, God prospered him. Saul would give him this assignment. Saul would give him that assignment. And every time David did something, he prospered. And then as they're coming back from battles, people are saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David has slain his 10,000s. And David, in his pathway right now, it's looking good. And all of a sudden, Scripture says that Saul was jealous of David. And things changed all of a sudden. David did not see this coming. And all of a sudden, David is there playing the harp, and the Word of God in Samuel says that, and the Spirit of God left Saul. In fact, God sent an evil spirit upon Saul. And Saul, as he's sitting there and he's mulling in his jealousy, and it's turning into anger and to rage and to murder, and he says, "I've got to get this guy." And so as David is playing the harp, trying to soothe Saul's anguish, Saul takes a spear and he hucks it at David and misses him. David flees, gets out of the way, takes it again and hucks at him twice, it says in the scriptures. And now David, from this point on, is a fugitive. Never saw it coming. Have you ever been in that situation? Are you in that situation? What do you do when you're in that situation? You're in this season in life where you're walking this path. You're going, "I never planned for this. I don't know what to do." You know what God says? Commit your way to the Lord. Give it over to Him. Cry out to God instead of growing bitter, saying, "God, why did you put me in this situation? What's the deal?" God is saying, "You know what I want you to do? I want you just to cry out to me. I understand. I know what you're going through. Call on me." I'm saying, "God, I'm totally dependent upon you. I'm totally needy. God, what do you want me to do right now? How do you want me to respond? Because I don't have the answers." And what the Lord is saying is, "Hey, you get your eyes on me and you just give me that burden. Give me your way that you're in right now and just entrust that into my care. I'll take care of you. I am the sovereign Lord. I'm Yahweh, the personal God. There's another pathway. The third pathway is I don't know if you've ever walked some of the pathways over at the coast, and it gets really foggy. And especially at Harris Beach, and there's some of those pathways up there, and it gets really, if it gets really, really, really foggy, you go off the path and chick, you're over the cliff, right? Well, have you ever been in your life, have you ever been on a path when all of a sudden the fog just rolled in and you cannot see 5 feet in front of you, 10 feet in front of you? Sometimes in our lives, one of the paths, one of the ways that we have and are involved in our circumstances and situations is we're walking along a path and the fog has rolled in and we can't see 10 feet in front of us. We can't even see 2 feet in front of us. You know, David experienced the same thing. Saul now is chasing him down. David is a criminal. Did he do anything wrong? No. What did he do? He slayed Goliath. He spared the people of Israel. He was a man walking by faith. He was doing the right things. The people were praising him. They were loving him. Saul even wants to give his daughter in marriage to him. Everything was going well, but Saul became jealous and became wicked. And for 10 long years, David is going from cave to cave to desert to cave, over to the Philistines, even working for them for a while, and back, and doing good all the way, but being pursued all the time by Saul. And David's in the fog, and he doesn't know what is the next step. 10 years. Can you imagine? And so sometimes we're in that kind of a pathway. In that pathway, what do you do when you're on that path? Commit your way to the Lord. Go to the Lord and say, God, I don't see ahead. I don't see what's going to happen tomorrow in my life. I don't know what's going to happen in 2 months in my life. And God, I don't know. So what do? You commit your way to the Lord. You give it over to Him. Lord, I don't know the path. I can't see the path. In the next few months, it's kind of like where we are as a church. We're walking along the path and the fogs come in and we can't see down there. And you know what the tendency can be? I think I want to go this way. I really don't want to walk down that path. But God's saying, I want you to go down this path. And I purposely, it's fogged for now and that's okay. Because what I want you to do is take a step. I'll show you. Take another step. I'll show you what to do next. Take another step. Okay? For us as a church, right now what God's calling you and I to do, together, take a step. God will reveal the next step for us. Take another step. Walk in faith. So what do we do while we're on this pathway and it's not totally clear? Pray. We gather together and pray together. We gather together for fellowship. We get to know one another. We went and had lunch with some of the worship team 3 weeks ago. I took out Bo and Don, and Bo began telling his story. Fascinating story of what God has done in Bo's life. And it just hit me, it's like, we don't really know one another. And Naomi, I don't know about you and Jonathan, but I was sitting there going, whoa, I had no idea. You know, we all have a story to tell. But we need to get to know one another. And then we can encourage one another. But we need that fellowship, spending time with one another, being together, pray, fellowship, serve. It has been so encouraging to watch different people say, you know what, Dwayne, I'd be willing to do this. I think I can do this. I think I can do that. And people are serving, doing things behind the scenes. That's what you do when you're in the fog. You pray, fellowship, serve, you love. We love one another. We take the time to get to know one another. We love one another. And we love our community. And another thing we do together, and I love this part, we praise the Lord together. We come into this beautiful sanctuary and we lift up praise to our great God. That's what you do when you're in the fog. You just be faithful to do what God's called us to do. Kind of like the verse before, trust in the Lord and do good. In the midst of this season where we can't see a few feet ahead, we do these things just faithfully. Being the church that God has called us to be. I love it. Lorraine hears about Goma. She goes to outreach, presents, hey, here's a way our church can bless a brother in the Lord clear across the world. And we can give him something as simple as some chickens so he can do his ministry in Nigeria. Oh, yeah, that's what we do. I can buy some earrings. We can encourage the kids. We can pray for our kids. We can make cookies for our frontline students. We can do that during this period of time so they can go down and experience God at El Cazal. Yeah. I can pray for those kids as they go down. That's what we do when we're walking along the path and it's a little foggy. We just do the basic things. There's a fourth path. On this pathway, the walk along the path is slow going. You are staying on the path, but it is a long haul. It is cumbersome. It's an arduous hike. Have you ever been backpacking? I remember one time we went backpacking, and I was in my high school years, and I was a young buck. And we went up this place, and it was switchback like this the whole way. And it was like halfway up, I'm just dying. I'm gassed. And I'm like, oh my goodness, do I want to keep doing this? Well, what else are you going to do? You know, you keep on moving, but your legs are just burning, and your lungs are like, I'm done. But you stay on the path, but it is a long, arduous path. Sometimes we're on that path, aren't we? Well, David was on that path. I mean, even though he was exalted as a military leader, even though everything he did, God blessed him and the people praised him. Even the soldiers said, man, this guy's a leader. We want to follow him. But for 10 years, hadn't done anything wrong. For 10 years, he's being pursued as an outlaw by Saul. 10 long years. Do you realize from the time he was anointed by Samuel? He didn't expect that. He is anointed by Samuel to be the next king. It was 10 years from that time to the point that he actually got to be king. 10 years. And was it a good 10 years? Ho, ho. Not when a king's coming after and he's throwing darts at you. Not when he's chasing you down and he wants to kill you. It was a long, hard, arduous journey. And that was David's pathway for a while. That may be your pathway. What do you do when you're on that path? Commit your way to the Lord. Give it over to the Lord saying, God, I am in this for the long haul. I am taking care as a caregiver for somebody, or I'm in the sandwich generation where I'm caring for my parents. I'm also caring for my children, and I'm just tugged back and forth. Or maybe you're dealing with loving your spouse and things are starting to slow down in your life. What do you do? Lord, I'm going to give this over to you. Give me the strength, give me the courage, give me the wisdom to continue on down this path that you have for me. I'm giving it over to you. I still remember back in the 90s, youth pastor here, so excited to be here, and my dad was in his 90s, and my mom, and I remember we were going through some tough times in the church. I remember that, man, I had young kids. I had my dad to care for, and he was getting dementia, and I'd have to run down to the house and take care of him and do all these kind of things. And it was pressure from all over the place. And I was going down that path, and it was a weary path. But what did I need to do? Commit my way to the Lord. God, I'm going to give this to you because I can't do it. And I remember one night just out in my truck, just right down here on Faith Avenue, right across the street, and I was just worn out. And I said, God, there's so much to do, and I can't do it all. It's like he just said, Dwayne, I'll take care of it. Give it over to me. And the minute I did that, didn't change the circumstances, but it's like God gave me a peace. He gave me a power, a strength to do this, to do that, maybe to say no and not do this. But I committed my way to the Lord, and God blessed it. Why should you commit your way to the Lord as you go down these different pathways? Why should you do this? Listen to this. It says in Psalm 37, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. By the way, commit and trust, they really go together. Because when you roll over your situation to God, really what you're saying is, God, take it, because I can't. And that's faith. And so He says, He will, if you do this, if you trust in Him, He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. You know what He's saying? David. He was walking with the Lord. He was doing everything God wanted him to do. And yet Saul, because of his jealousy, is coming after David constantly. And so David still walks in obedience. David does not raise one hand against Saul, because Saul, he knew, was God's anointed. And it's in God's timing that God will remove Saul and cause David to ascend to be the next king. And so David did the right thing all through that time, and yet Saul is constantly after him. Saul even gives him assignments so he'll go out into battle. So hopefully David will get killed. You know what happens instead? David wins the battle. And more people are on David's side, and the military leaders are like, David, he's a good man. What does God do when you trust Him, when you commit your way to Him? People will see. When you're going through difficult troubles and struggles, when you're in those pathways where the fog's there, where it's a long journey, people will watch. And they'll say, that person, I can't explain their life. I can't explain what they're doing, but they're treated unjustly, or they're maligned, or somebody's putting them down, yet they still walk and they do the right thing. You know what happens when you commit your way to the Lord? You don't have to sweat it. And God will come alongside and He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn in the morning. He will make your justice like the sun, the noonday sun. He will make all things right and you will shine and reflect Jesus Christ. So we're in a pathway. Many of us are in different paths in our lives. Which path are you in this morning? Maybe you're in a couple of them. What path are you in this morning? And what is God calling you to do? He's calling you to turn to Him like that big sack of cement and just give that burden, that situation over to Him. Say, God, I can't do this. I'm giving it over to You. And you just roll that sack onto the shoulders of Jesus. And He will take your burden. And He will make your path clear. And He will walk with you down the path. You're never alone on that path. For us as a church, I'm asking you, let's walk down that path together. Let's love one another. Let's encourage one another during this time. Let's praise the Lord. Let's serve the Lord. Let's be in fellowship together. And let's see what God is going to do. Father, I thank You for these very simple words from Scripture. Lord, You tell us in difficult times when the wicked seem to be winning. Oh, Lord, when we're walking down paths that are really, really hard. Lord, Your instruction to us is that commit Your way to me. Commit Your way to me. Give everything to me. You can't solve it. You can't make it work. You can't fix it. Give it all to me and trust me to work. And so, Lord, would you help us to learn that truth, to commit our ways to you? And Lord, when we do that, when we trust you like that, you are going to make our righteousness like the dawn of the morning. You're going to make our justice like the noonday sun. Oh Lord, forgive us for trying to walk the path of our own strength and our own power and our own energy. Lord, help us to trust you, to lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you, and you will make straight our paths. Thank you, Lord, for that truth. Lord, now we want to finish off with just responding by worshiping you. You are trustworthy, Lord, and we worship you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Because he is great, you can walk that path. And he will walk it with you. And he will carry you through it when you're in the fog. Lord, I want to thank you for these truths from your word. Oh, Lord, help us, oh God, to put that truth into practice even this week, oh Lord. To trust you, to cast all our cares, our burdens on you, to say, God, I can't handle this. I can't do it. You got to do it. Lord, we just give it all to you. Oh, Lord, we want to worship you this week. Use us this week, Lord, to love on people, to care for people, to be kind, to show them the love of Jesus Christ. And Lord, when we're going through it, may people watch us and see, how come they're acting that way? How can they do that? Oh, it's because of our great God who walks with us. And now dismiss us, Lord, in your mercy and your grace. Lord, we love you. We long for you to work in and through us this week. And as we come back next week, we're going to celebrate your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, bless you.